So if you are tempted as a young person to go out and tell the world what's wrong with the world, to complain and to protest, or to demonstrate how much of a victim you are on a fool's errand that the culture and the world is sending you to. Don't waste your time. Before you tell the world what is wrong with the world and how the world ought to be, get your own life together. Be a person that can be taken seriously. If you want to fight Goliath, you have to learn how to tend your father's sheep. You have to learn how to protect your father's sheep, as it were. You have to get a trade, get an education, get a job, so that you can be an independent person. You have to learn to support yourself. Start a family, start a whatever, start a business. And if you do that, people will begin to take you seriously. They might begin to think that you could stand up on that day against that giant. David the boy showed us some things we can learn from, even to this day. Even if we're not David, probably very few of us or any of us are, God used him in some very specific ways that we can still learn from right now. Well, let's talk a little bit about David the man before he was king, and the testing of your mettle, as it said, the testing of your faith. You learn to stand up and speak your faith when you're young. It doesn't mean everything's going to go perfect. This is Chagall's rendition of the event where David had to run for his life, and his wife, Saul's daughter, Michal, is helping him to escape from her father. You might turn the page to 1 Samuel 18 and verse 12, and we're going to see that this young man, David, who could not wear Saul's armor, did not want to wear it, but had to just do his own thing with what he had, is now suited up with his armor and field gear, and he's carrying a sword. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 12. Saul was afraid of David. You see, after he killed Goliath, Saul then asks his commander, "Wait a minute, whose son is this? He's been with him all this time, but he hasn't really paid attention to him. But all of a sudden, he's made a promise that the guy who kills Goliath doesn't have to pay taxes anymore, is going to marry his daughter. This is going to be my son-in-law. Who is this guy?" David did very well, it says, because the Lord was with him. Saul, verse 12, was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had departed from Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaigns. Sometimes you get jobs because other people don't want you hanging around them. In everything he did, he had great success, because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. So, David is now anointed. He's an anointed man. Saul doesn't know that, really. He's wearing his anointing just as he wore his armor. He wore armor as a field commander. He wore his anointing as a wanted man, running for his life then. After he was Saul's man in the field, Saul began to pursue him to try and kill him. David began to experience what it means to live as a responsible person. He went down to Gaza, still a trouble spot on the map. And he went there and got himself trapped in the walled city with Achish, the king there. And so he deceived him by pretending to be insane. And David gives praise to God in the Psalms for allowing him to deceive that king. But then it says that David lied. He tried deception and used it on the priests who were at the city of Nob or Navi. He lied to those priests and he got 85 of them murdered by Saul. Because when Saul came to find out, he came chasing David. And he said, "Has David been here?" "Yes, he's been here." David had told him he was on a mission from Saul. There's no such thing. He was running from Saul. David didn't want to put the liability on the priests. And so he says in chapter 22, verse 22, when he heard that the priest had been murdered, "I'm responsible for this happening." So he understood that his cleverness had limits. What you could praise God for on one hand could also get people murdered. Life is not easy when you begin to lead and to make decisions, even if it's only for your family. So David the man began to learn, you're responsible now. Don't be afraid to let your faith be tested, but know that the consequences are very real. Wear the armor. That is to say, don't be afraid as you get into your 20s and 30s. Be a grown-up. It's okay. You are one. Wear your anointing, even against the culture and your own desires. If you are a follower of Jesus, you're going to have to take chances. If being a responsible follower of Jesus means that you are going to be a family person, because if you're not called to be single, you probably ought to raise a family. And that has risk tied up with it. That's why people don't get married, because they're afraid of the risk. What if I get married to someone and then I meet the right person? That's a fairy tale. You become the right person, and your spouse becomes the right person as you live with them and learn to deal with them and learn to bless them and let them bless you. Wear the armor. Wear the uniform. Uniforms are a good thing. Uniforms allow you, sometimes you get to hide behind your uniform. If you're a policeman or you're a military person, you're having a bad day, sometimes the starch in your uniform is what's holding you up. But you're still there and you're still doing things. And that's a big principle in life. Heroes are people who are still there when the game's done. Heroes are the people who don't quit, even when they make terrible mistakes like David made, getting those priests murdered. Do you know that Winston Churchill, when he was a young man, was one of the people who was very much responsible for the slaughter of British soldiers at Gallipoli? And later, when he was asked to address the up-and-coming generations of leaders, his advice to them was, never, ever, ever quit. That's part of what it means to follow Jesus. You keep going, even when you've made terrible mistakes. Let your faith be tested. Learn wisdom and press on. David became eventually the king. And what he found out was that success can be your toughest test of faith. David was a man of great vision. He united the kingdom, all these diverse 12 tribes, He brought them together as Israel. He made the center of power in Jerusalem. He built a palace for himself, and he brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem so that worship would happen there. And it was his son Solomon that would later build the temple that would house the Ark of the Covenant. It was still in the old tabernacle while David was king. But he brought all that together, and what he found out was that success makes life complicated. It says later on in the book of Samuel that when the kings went off to war in the spring, and this is what this depicts here, David stayed home. And this is what got him in trouble. This is David hanging around the palace, and while he was hanging around the palace, he saw on one of the other rooftops a young woman named Bathsheba having a bath. And he thought to himself, no doubt, I like her. I am the king. Come to find out, she was the wife of one of his servants, one of his officers, Uriah the Hittite. And David took this man, took this man's wife, he broke this man's family, and he had him arranged to have him killed on the battlefield. And David was brought to task by the Lord for this. In 2 Samuel 12, after 9 months of ignoring this situation, David just pretended like nothing had really happened. He brought Bathsheba into his house and married her after Uriah was dead. And it was the prophet Nathan. This was the role of the prophets. If it was dangerous to be anointed king while there's a sitting king, it's dangerous too to be the one who God says, go in and tell him he sinned. Okay. But Nathan did it. And he asked them the question, why did you despise the word of the Lord? The Lord God of Israel says, I appointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil? You struck down Uriah with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. He arranged for him to be killed. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite. You have shown utter contempt for the Lord. Wow. He was just doing something that every other king who ever lived did. But David says, Nathan said, the Lord has taken away your sin. You're not going to die, because David confessed. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. But he was penalized for that sin very deeply. The boy that Bathsheba was carrying died because of that. But there was no resigning in dishonor. You are the king, and you will be the king the rest of your days. You have to press on. There's no resigning or retiring from following the Lord, from following Jesus. Once the Holy Spirit has sealed you, you belong to Him forever. That means something. That means if you engage in sin intentionally, you are despising the Lord. You are treating His word with contempt. That's a big deal. So you're successful now. This might be your biggest test of faith. I made it. You never made it. There's always more to learn and more to grow in. And that can be your very, very biggest test of faith. We live in the richest, healthiest country that has ever existed. and it's built on biblical principles. And how much of that have we wasted and treated with contempt, even as Christians? This was not given to us to enrich ourselves and protect ourselves and to pleasure ourselves. We love to use our families as excuses for not serving the Lord. Well, I'd like to, but I got to think about the kids. No, he's not having that. If you follow Jesus, use your success for his glory, for him. Who are you mentoring? Who are you leading? Who are you encouraging? What are you participating in with your hands on? This bulletin is full of things that are going on. I hope you're involved with these things. I hope you're leading. I hope you're doing whatever God has made you to do. You may not be a David. I'm not a David. I have other characters in the Bible that I think I relate to much more closely than David. But I can learn from him. And I will, and I ought. The Lord Jesus is not ashamed to call himself the Son of David. For all the good and all the bad it was, that's who he was. He was the King to come. And God has gotten down with us and taken on our flesh. And he has showed us, you wanted a hero like David, and he came and he did what David could not do. He won the victory. He won the battle on our behalf. And this comes out strongly in the New Testament. If you read Acts chapter 2, Peter uses David as an example. He says, David was great, but he's still laying in his grave. Jesus, the Christ, his ancestor, is greater because he is risen from the dead. He has given us what David could not give us. He has given us an eternal kingdom to be a part of. And so that is the wealth, that is part of the riches that we have in Christ. It is not for us to waste. It is for us to use and move forward into. David showed us the way forward. In his Psalms, you can see him talking about the Messiah. There's coming a king who's going to be better than I am. He understood who he was. And so we meet this king in Jesus, and we will look at him as a person in the Bible next week. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for David. Thank you for his strength, his cleverness, his wit, his heart for you. Lord, help us to learn from him in so many ways. The failures that we have to avoid on one hand, but the greatness we have to step up to on the other hand. Whatever it is you've made us do, whatever part of our life we're in, whether we're young, whether we're in the middle with all the responsibility, whether we're older and successful, Lord, you have things for us to do right now. We're not waiting for the next bit. We're supposed to be doing this right now. We ask that you would help us to live to the responsibility that you've called us to in Christ. And we will thank you for this today. In his name, amen.